College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin 4 miles.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
God, there was 1 week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Spray on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Not talking about this.
Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We will talk about the race war that happened in Indiana this weekend. Where were you when it broke out?
See, this grainy video is evidence of why she should commit a flagrant foul.
Blacks versus whites, hell of a thing over the weekend. We'll talk about that.
You know what's interesting is that's not just black versus whites anymore.
It's not.
No, I think the internet is completely turning on the other one.
Ah, okay.
I think it's a unified. This player is really good, and that player is
just cut it out. You know, cut it out.
She's got a good social media following.
She's got a great following. Got a great following. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Happy Monday. Hope your weekends were great. Friday, we're off for the weekend, as it usually does. Big news breaks when we're done.
You went a little. Walk in there.
I did a little bit, didn't I?
Usually.
Need more cowbell. Brock Purdy got a lot of cowbell this weekend.
Yeah, he did.
We've been waiting for that extension in San Francisco. We knew it was close. It was going to happen. Just when. And it finally did. He signed a massive 5-year, $265 million deal. It includes $181 million in total guarantees and roughly $165 million in the first 3 years of the deal. $100 million of it is fully guaranteed at signing. And according to multiple sources, the sources are saying he has a full no-trade clause in this deal. We have a poll question up. You can go grade the deal. A, B, C, D, or F.
Mm-hmm.
How do we grade the Brock Purdy contract extension in San Francisco?
I mean, slightly higher than I was hoping because I looked at him with his Levi jeans and his Toyota Tacoma and I thought, oh, maybe he'll take the $43 million deal. And
$15 million a year is all he needs, he'll man.
He'll give us that great team-friendly deal.
Look, he's a humble guy from Iowa.
He's
from
what, the seventh or eighth highest paid player in the league. The guaranteed money's not even close. Which quarterback would you rather have? Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love, or Brock Purdy?
It's not easy to answer.
Dak Prescott, throw him in. There's five right there.
I'm going to eliminate Trevor Lawrence immediately, and I'm going to eliminate Tua immediately.
Okay, so he's making less than them.
That debate amongst the other three.
Okay, so, like, I think kind of fair, and you can certainly say he's not going to lead your team to a Super Bowl championship. Guys, I have news for you. Josh Allen is absolutely capable, and he hasn't done it.
No.
Lamar Jackson's won multiple MVPs. He's one of the greatest football players I've ever seen in my eyes. He ain't done it. So, like, I think the idea that people's takeaway here is like, oh, good luck. You can't win. It's kind of stupid. It's short-sighted. And you either hate the Niners, you're just being disingenuous to it. So, it's not, like, the most amazing deal, but you have to pay for that position.
Yeah.
What was the option?
I think that's the important point.
To not?
Like, what's the alternative? Do you just string it out and wait?
And pay him way more if he has a better season than he had last year? Because clearly he had a down year.
Yes, he did.
Them as a team had a down year.
Yeah.
But they have shown us this offseason with their wallet who their franchise guys are. They're about to reach a deal with Fred Warner, right? They signed George Kittle to a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've gotten Brock Purdy. And if you don't just want to trust the coaches and say, well, the coaches and the GM, they don't. Go ask the players. He is universally beloved in that locker room. Every dude on offense and defense will swear by him. I'm not telling you again, he is a top five quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he is. He's in that top 10 conversation. Some games he's going to have it where you go, yep, he is. And then in bad weather, he might talk you out of it. but he's making less than Tua and Trevor Lawrence and Dak Prescott, I'll sign up for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I do... It's very easy on the one hand to say, ha-ha, 49ers, what a terrible contract. I understand where people who don't like the team will point the finger and say, you can't win with him with this. Look, you couldn't win with him making, you know, $40 a year as the Mr. Irrelevant pick. Sure. How are you going to win now? Like, I understand all of those arguments. I think the pushback that I will give, that I'm glad that you pointed out, is it's funny, we've debated this for a long time on the show. This used to be a bit that we had back when we were a night show. You can tell me that you don't think Brock Purdy is worth the money. You can tell me that you don't think you if you were John Lynch, you wouldn't give him the contract. I understand it. The follow-up is that I would like an answer to is, what do you do?
But see, like, that's where I'm coming from is, you can debate how good you think he is or can
yes,
be.
Everybody's going to have a wide range of opinions on that topic.
But it is a flat-out lie. You would sign him.
Yes.
Because if you were a GM or running an organization, you wouldn't have an alternate option.
No.
This is it. Your genius head coach swears by him. He is liked in the community. He's loved by his teammates. You would. You don't have to say that you think he's a top blank quarterback, but you're absolutely a liar. You are Pinocchioing the situation,
saying
you would not sign him.
So
you
what
would.
What would you do? I mean, you trade him and then bring in Sam Darnold? Is that going to do it for you? Do you bring in Aaron Rodgers? Like, what's the – you just start another rookie? Do you draft – the last time they tried to draft a rookie in the first round, it sure didn't work out for him in Trey Lance. So, like, you got a quarterback who has proven to be a starting caliber quarterback in the league. He's been to multiple NFC title games and a Super Bowl. I do find the discourse funny at times. Like, if he would have gotten $60 million a year, which at points people brought up, is he going to reset the market, be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
I would say he gave them a slightly
team friendly
deal.
I would say, like,
deal.
Dear God, do not give him that. There's a big difference between making $60 million and $53 million a year. And the next thing we'll have to figure out, as we don't know all the details in the contract yet, is how much of it is a signing bonus and how much of it is a cap hit every year, right? Like, there's a difference there. I brought this up a million times.
The Jalen Hurts contract.
With Jalen Hurts contract. Like, I think it's a very important thing to point out. Jalen Hurts' yearly take-home in terms of his salary is right around where Brock Purdy's is. I think Purdy slightly edged him.
I think Lori has more money than York, because unfortunately York just had to sell a stake of his franchise.
He's selling a small percentage of the team, I know.
If you can upfront load it and
yes.
give him, like, a massive... What is it? 181 guaranteed. If you can up that signing bonus as much as possible to, you know, kill down the per years and all that.
Right.
The cap hits.
His cap hit this year, Jalen Hurts was $21 million.
Yeah, that's...
So just to give, and next year it'll be, last year, excuse me, it was 13. This year it'll be 21, and then it goes to 31. So it slightly goes up over the time of the contract, but they bought themselves some time. And this might be laughable to some, and I will laugh right back at you. I view Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy very similarly. I think they are good. I think Jalen Hurts has played elite football in the two biggest games of his career, and that is the biggest feather in his cap.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't look at Jalen Hurts and say, if you put him on insert bad team here, he's going to elevate everybody else around him. He has benefited greatly from playing for one of the best organizations in the league with elite weapons, maybe the best running back in the NFL, a dominant offensive line, and the best defensive line in the league. And I think he has been, it doesn't mean I'm not taking away his success, similar to, I think it's dumb when people do that to Purdy. I view them very similarly of guys that are good. Are they top seven? Are they top 10? Are they I don't know where they fall into the rankings of general NFL fans.
I feel like the top 10, it shifts.
It's all ambiguous.
There's,
like,
not a hardcore
I have reached
top
a point
10.
In the NFL as a fan where I think there's four guys, mm-hmm. that are top four. You have your Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks. That is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow. Mm. Out of that, who's number five? Good luck. You going to go Jordan Love on me? He was the can't-miss guy last year, and he regressed in almost every major statistical category.
Also couldn't stay healthy.
No, it was C.J. Stroud a year ago. He's going to ascend into this next great thing. His offensive line was a sieve. His wide receivers got hurt. He had a down year this year. Like, every year, that next four through nine is going to rotate depending on who's healthy, whose team is healthy, who has a good year. So you tell me that Brock Purdy is the seventh highest-paid quarterback in the NFL on an annual average basis.
Uh-huh.
That's not blasphemous to me, and I think it ended up being a good win-win combo. The only part of it that I don't like that you brought up earlier is a no-trade clause. It sounds like the deal will be a three-year deal, and then we can get out of it if we want, but if that's a we can
if
get out of it...
If that's what it is, then whatever.
Then
who
you
got
to cut him. You can't trade him because he's got a full no-trade clause.
Well, I just think the tough thing is, one, quarterback is only going to be as successful as surroundings, right?
Yes.
Like, there are quarterbacks, and you named four of them, that I think elevate situations. I'm also not going to pretend that Mahomes going to Andy Reid wasn't the greatest gift of all time.
Joe Burrow wasn't in the playoffs this year because he didn't have a defense.
Yeah.
So I just
Lamar goes to one of the more well-run organizations the sport has ever seen in Baltimore. He's great. He's electric. It certainly helps. Josh Allen, I think, you know, people downgrade his situation with coach and general manager, but like the most part, I think they've done a pretty good job. And if they can take the next step, we'll have to wait and see. When you're listing them out and it's like Dak Prescott, a reminder, people, Dak Prescott is the highest paid on a yearly basis.
Because Dallas continued to wait and wait and wait, and tagged him, and how did it turn out?
And how much do you cost yourself if you wait that one more year? You don't have to pay him, Sprague. Okay, but if he has a great year.
What are you doing?
You're paying more than what you paid, and so you got Prescott, Burrow, Allen, Love, Lawrence, and Tua all ahead of him per year. He is tied with Goff, and I know Goff's had a longer career. He's established at the Rams. He's established with the Lions. I give him credit. I don't know if I'm separating the two of them of saying, like, oh, Goff's better than Purdy. I don't know if I'm really doing that. So he's tied with Goff.
Yeah.
Based on the early success and returns of his career, I understand it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Over the weekend, they paid him. The Niners have been setting this up. You kind of pointed that out with a lot of roster moves that they made last offseason. They have become a trending pick to have a really bad year this upcoming year. A lot of people around the league say, I didn't like the draft. They let a little,
I just don't think this is a very hot take debatey thing today. Like, people are going to, on national television, give you five reasons why this is an awful idea and deal, and then they won't provide the alternative idea, and then they'll say, well, it's Shanahan. Go draft a quarterback and use Shanahan. He's like, okay, and if that doesn't work, now Shanahan's getting fired. So
how did
like,
it work with Trey Lance and Shanahan?
I don't really think this is much of a debate. If you have a quarterback that produces,
yes,
and you've largely won with him,
yes, you pay him.
You have to pay him.
That's the way it works.
It's the premium position, and you want to feel confident about that spot. You know, not that Shanahan has the greatest track record of picking on quarterbacks, but he's had success with this dude.
Yeah.
This dude's a film nerd. And now it's how do they fill in the margins around him, and that's going to be the most important part.
I'll use the Philly example one last time, and then we'll go. But I think all it does is it just heightens the awareness that you have to have as an organization about hitting on draft picks. Like, it adds more pressure to your general manager to be good for guys on rookie-scale deals. And when you look at what Philadelphia did this last year, I'm not arguing they're the only reason that they won, but they essentially built their entire secondary through the draft and two guys who came in and were studs immediately. How many defensive linemen have they drafted that they have not had to pay yet because they're still early in their career? And let's be honest, what won Philadelphia the Super Bowl? Their defensive line dominated the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's why they won. Everybody else played well. Hurts had a good game. They don't win that game without that defensive line. And so that, like, it just highlights there's an added sense of urgency that you got to hit on those guys on rookie deals. Doesn't mean you can't do it. Does add more pressure when you're paying one position a lot more than they were paying before. But Brock Purdy got paid on Friday. You can go vote on the poll question. What grade do you give the extension? A,
F, B, C, is crazy, dude.
D or F?
How many of those people voting there don't have a franchise quarterback on their team?
Probably a lot of them. And the Niners will become an interesting team to watch because, as I mentioned, they're becoming a trendy pick to, like, oh, they're done. The dynasty's over. Not dynasty's not
over. Oh, really? I feel like it's been the opposite. Their schedule didn't seem very
strong. The schedule is a cakewalk. I mean, they got an incredible cakewalk schedule.
And I don't know if this is going to work. I'm not sitting here touting it like they're going to win the Super Bowl or even get back to a Super Bowl. That's very hard to do. Josh Allen hasn't been to one yet.
No. Neither has Lamar Jackson.
And Burrow is just as good in the Super Bowl as Brock Purdy so far.
Yeah.
I think in that game, as much as you may not always love it, you get a quarterback, you got to pay him.
You got to pay him. Franchise quarterbacks get paid seventh annual average, ranked seventh in annual average in terms of money take home. Still awaiting the final details on the deal. We'll pass those along when we get them. Let's get to the race war that happened in Indiana this weekend. Next on The Fam.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it takes coming in. NFL quarterback conversations get it going.
Somebody said, it. It's one of my, I enjoy that conversation as much as any other. I genuinely enjoy it. And you're going to read these off. At the end of the day, if you ran an NFL team, you would give the contract. You would have no choice.
Somebody said, you pivot, you get out. Seahawks had Danger Russ, and they dumped him, fleeced the Broncos in the process. They pivot out of it. If they said, well, we had no choice, he's proven himself as a starter, they'd still be stuck with him. And I would ask a couple of follow-ups there. One, I think there was the feeling based on his injuries leading up to that that maybe there was going to be a regression, because remember, he dealt with the finger injury. Geno came in. He forced his way back in. Like, you weren't sure. Age was a big part of that as well. And then the other follow-up is, like, look, I'm not arguing that Russell Wilson has been great. He clearly has not. His days as a starting quarterback should be done in the NFL, but teams still keep giving him chances. What have the Seahawks done since trading him? How many playoff wins they got?
They're on a run right now of not making them.
Okay. They went 2 years ago and lost to who? Who'd they lose to in the playoffs?
Yep.
Got it. Okay. So I get it. Like, I'm not arguing that you should have kept Russell Wilson. That is a trade that has aged well for them. But I also don't feel like they're the same example. Brock Purdy's been a starting quarterback in the NFL for 2.5 seasons. Yeah. Another one said, Dirt's take on viewing Hurts and Purdy similar, absolute BS. NFL take credibility revoked. And I would ask, why? Based on what?
I do think people would give Hurts that.
Based
that
on
edge.
What? Because he's won the a Super
success?
Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, look, that matters for people. You don't sure. have to agree with it, but people do take
totally
that into
fair.
Account.
If you put the offensive and defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles on the 49ers from a year ago, did the 49ers win the Super Bowl?
That's not how that works.
That's
though.
How it should work.
But that's not how it works.
Jalen Hurts has never had a 4,000-yard passing season in his NFL career.
That's fine.
He's never thrown for 25 touchdowns in a season in his NFL career.
I didn't make the rules
so
on this
So based
stuff.
On what? He won one game and he's better? So is Jalen Hurts better than Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
Is he better than Josh Allen? Wow. Is he better than Lamar Jackson? Like, what are we doing here? Like, come on, man. This is not meant as a diss on Jalen Hurts. He is a good NFL quarterback who has played huge in big moments. But I find it funny how some guys, yeah. because they win one game because their team is solid. If Brock Purdy's team catches a punt and kicks a field goal or kicks a PAT 2 years ago, they probably win that Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and if he wins, are we not?
But they didn't.
They didn't. That wasn't his
fault.
They could
also get a stop against an aging offensive tight end. No,
like, the way that these narratives are created and the way we talk about it makes me chuckle, and that one win all of a sudden means that that's a dumb thing.
I guess my question, because Seahawks fan is going to, right, feel a certain way about this. It's a divisional foe, right? And anytime a quarterback is paid, I guess my follow-up would be like, when Russell Wilson got the contract in Seattle, I think it was 2019.
That sounds right.
Were you pissed and disagree with it then? Because that was according to SpotTrack, that was a 4-year, $140 million deal.
No, when he was young in his career, the first extension, nobody had an issue
okay,
with
so
it.
Okay, so like after 2 years of the deal, when did they trade him? In 2021? I'm trying to think when they traded him to Denver here. Hold on.
It was 3
Nobody's
years ago.
Nobody's helping me on the show.
3 years ago, I think?
What year was it?
Riggins isn't paying attention. He's watching TV.
He's pissed off at the clock.
I think it... Oh, God. Yeah, because Geno came in. Geno was a starter for two full seasons, if I'm not mistaken, in Seattle.
Damn it. This article is like, the Seahawk trade.
Let me scroll through. His first year since he moved on.
God.
All right, hold on. I'm pulling up Russell Wilson's stat log. We'll see when he was traded. He was traded. His last year in Seattle was, Googling in. He has been gone for three full seasons. 2021 was his last year in Seattle.
So a couple years into the new deal is when he is traded. We haven't even gotten to the deal yet.
No.
So the whole, like, you do what the Seahawks do with Russ and you pivot. One, they already had a Super Bowl with Russ Wilson.
They did.
They don't have one in San Francisco. Go with this regime.
They do not.
And two, the deal hasn't even started. Like, if what you said is true, and I haven't seen if that's confirmed yet, of it's a 3-year to get out.
That's how a lot of these work. It's a front-loaded, a lot of guaranteed money up front for 3 years, and then you can cut them essentially.
If that's what it is, then it's the same situation potentially happening there in San Francisco as if it doesn't work.
You just can't trade him because he's got no trade clause. So
right,
you have to cut
but
him.
You can get out. But like, it's not any really, it's not that different.
No, I don't know. I find the entire conversation.
The debate is more like how you rank quarterbacks and who ranks where, not just the whole, like, do you pay? You're going to see so many stupid takes today about that, and this reality is like, that's not logical. That's not a real take.
Yeah, the Seahawks fan responded, that's true, but the 49ers will guaranteed not make the playoffs this year. So if you're starting over, if your window is closed, why pay top money for a quarterback who many think is mid at best?
You're guaranteeing the Niners are not going to make the playoffs?
I don't think they view their window as being closed. That's part of it. So
I think
you
their
might,
window's just changed.
It has changed.
Every window with the quarterback being paid is going to change.
You might view it differently, and that's fine. Maybe you end up being right on that take. They would argue probably our entire defense sucked last year. We had a bad defense coordinator. We've solved that issue. Our offensive line was banged up. We didn't have Christian McCaffrey all year. Brandon Ayuk got hurt, month into the season after holding out and being sluggish at the start.
How many teams would you confidently say guaranteed to not make the playoffs, by the way? I don't know how. I don't know if my team's really a Super Bowl contender by any stretch. Like, yeah. I'm guaranteed to not make the playoffs. It's a wild statement.
I don't even know how many teams I'd be confident in doing that after what we've seen the last 2 years in the NFL, with Houston going from drafting in the top three to the playoffs, and then Washington going from the second overall pick to being in the NFC Championship
game.
Like,
was crazy.
How many teams would you look at and say they're guaranteed to not make the playoffs next year? I'd probably say the Jets. I feel like
Saints.
The Saints, I could guarantee. I feel like I can guarantee the Browns won't be there.
Tyler Shuck's going to win Rookie of the Year. I think we need to stop. We all need to collectively.
Giants, no way. No way, Giants.
J-Mo,
baby.
Wow, stop Russ. Throwing pick six.
Russ is there.
No, J-Mo's going to come in.
J-Mo
and
will
then,
be the savior.
When they both suck, it's dirt time.
Well, to the point, it's just dirt like, time. I don't know. There's not a lot of teams that I
That's
would confidently
also a Seahawks
say
fan,
no
so
chance.
It's probably all in good fun.
I think the division is wide open in the NFC West. There's nobody that blows my socks off, and I do think the 49ers have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL.
You know what he has kind of turned into, this Brock, this Mr. Purdy? It's our new age, and it's not like this was all that long ago. This is our new age. Is Joe Flacco elite? That I think Brock Purdy is the new Joe Flacco.
He just doesn't have the ring. Joe Flacco at least had the ring, so Brock's got to get the ring.
He's kind of like... I don't know. How would you describe his personality? Like that quiet country boy. It's like, oh, I go to church. Good evening, Mr.
Yeah, he's in John Deere ads.
He's in Levi's and John Deere's, and he's driving Tacomas. And like, he's so nondescript. And then like his physical status, he's what, 6'1", 220 pounds, not fast, but not like the slowest, with okay, good accuracy, but not the strongest arm. Like, everything about him puts him exactly in that new age. Is he elite? And I've certainly been in this. Yeah. I don't know. I go back and forth all the time on this. But he's, you got to pay him.
Yeah.
You just do. I don't know what else there. They don't have another option.
Yeah. The
it's not realistic.
Jalen Hurts takes it. He won the one game that matters at the end of the season in dominant fashion. I'm not taking that away from him. He was very good in the Super Bowl. They also were up 34-0 because their defense dominated the football game. And so by your logic, you're telling me, if that's a laughable take to compare him and Brock Purdy, you're telling me that Jalen Hurts is better than Joe Burrow. You're telling me that Jalen Hurts is better than Josh Allen. You're telling me that Jalen Hurts is better than Lamar Jackson because he won the one game that matters and nothing else matters in the NFL. So he's better than all of those guys according to that logic. I find it funny that we only do that for NFL quarterbacks and we forget from time to time that it is a team sport, which Brock Purdy has benefited greatly from, as has Jalen Hurts, who plays for one of the best teams in the NFL with the most loaded roster out there. That's why they were up 34-0 on Kansas City in the Super Bowl. I digress. Did we get all our quarterback takes out? We feel good?
I think you've lost your quarterback card and your NBA card in like the last week.
Dude, the Cavs losing in the second round and the Nugs pushing, I feel like I should be able to hold on to half of a card. Yep. I bought a $5 crown on Amazon, too.
You what?
I bought a little $5 plastic crown just in case they won. The Nuggets won yesterday.
You bought a plastic
crown? And I was going to bring it in and put it on whenever we got to the segment talking about the Nuggets. I was going to tape NBA dirt to the front of it.
Swag, do top five players in Game 7 score just 20 points and shoot just 9 times? Or
It's more about the shooting 9 times.
Magic ever do that in a Game 7?
I mean, I'm sure he did.
Unless he had like 27 assists or something.
Probably. Oh, yeah, because he never lost a playoff game in his entire career.
No, he didn't.
No, he won the title every year. He was ever
played
in the
all
NBA.
Five positions.
I mean, he literally was in the finals like 9 times in a decade.
Yeah, it helps to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Who carried that team, though? Yeah.
Who was the all-time leading scorer for a long time?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
but
okay.
What were the Lakers before Magic?
The Lakers? Can you even answer that?
They were the Celtics, bitch.
Damn right they were the Celtics, bitch.
I was just pivoting to an NBA debate. Get the hell out of here. Swag is... Swag is giving me this, like, angry shut-up-go-to-break take, and then you bring up an NBA question. Now he's like, let's talk Magic Johnson right now.
Magic's... he's on my side.
Magic, he's on your side.
Better
again.
Than Jokic.
All right, let's get to the race war. I pivoted on that. We forgot it in the last segment. We'll get to it next.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a Joe Exotic story that I'd love to be able to talk about on the air, but I'm not quite sure how to do it.
I could do it.
His husband got...
You're going to have to workshop that for a day or two.
Let's think about the verbiage we want to use there. Anybody ever left you a picture of this? There's a good tease. The WNBA tipped off this weekend.
Yes.
The start of their year is here. Caitlin Clark fever is back.
Well, it Liberty started Aces late last game week. Was great.
Oh, and then Friday. The weekend,
yeah,
the
Friday
weekend.
There was a triple header. You saw Paige Beckers make her debut.
How'd she do? Did she do good?
She played fine.
Yeah, okay,
but there's a reason why the Dallas Wings had the number one overall pick, so it's a work in progress.
Sure. So it goes into the weekend, and it's funny that sometimes I see this and the things that'll kind of pierce my bubble as a sports fan a little bit. Like, there's a lot going on. No offense to WNBA basketball. Like, I got playoff games. I got the PGA Championship. I was actually watching a little bit of the Duck baseball thing against Iowa this weekend when I'm flipping around. Like, this, I got a lot going on my sports plate right now.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of room for a league tipping off. Maybe later in the summer when we get there and it's just baseball and there's nothing else happening, I'll be delving into games. So I'm always curious the things that will pierce my bubble that I'll see. And when this happened... Everybody's talking about it, and it could not have been a better start for the WNBA. We had a hard foul from Caitlin Clark to Angel Reese. We had a foul on Caitlin Clark to Angel Reese. Yeah. Angel Reese was not happy about that, which, ironically, she was fouled by Caitlin Clark after two-hand shoving somebody out of the way to grab a rebound.
I mean, we're also acting like that was the most egregious thing you've seen on a rebound attempt.
Happens all the time. Yeah. And so that then leads to the two kind of getting together and the Angel Reese comments. And I know there's probably some old-school WNBA basketball heads that are like, oh, this is so insufferable. I just want to watch my league without all the drama. But I will tell you.
I think they've all leaned into it,
I think you have to at this point. You could not have asked for – if that was just a normal Caitlin Clark wins, but there's no altercation, I might see a headline that said Caitlin Clark, you know, performs well or scores 30 or whatever she had and wins the game. The fact that that happened turned into one of the biggest talking points and storylines out of the sports weekend, and you could not have drawn up a better start for the WNBA.
I don't think you could. She had a triple-double, and they looked
amazing. They won
amazing.
By 30.
They
killed them.
Her and Aaliyah Boston, their pick and roll was sensational. And I know a lot of this is about Angel Reese. We can get to that. It just needs to be noted. For those that don't watch, I understand that crowd exists too, and if they do watch, it's only Caitlin Clark. Okay, Caitlin Clark is white.
She's also really
Caitlin Clark's vision and passing is her best skill.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
It's not her shooting. Her shooting is the biggest thing that people know her for. Her passing, she had. What did she finish with? 14 assists,
something like that.
She should have had 19.
Yeah,
they couldn't finish layups, or they would straight drop passes that were picture perfect. She was unbelievable. She's the real deal. Look, Angel Reese is a good rebounder, a feisty little defender, and nothing more. So all the jokes that people were making this weekend about, this is like Steph Curry and Marcin Gortat having a rivalry. Like, I kind of think it is.
There's a rivalry.
I mean,
there.
Caitlin Clark, it's definitely a rivalry.
In
but
terms
Caitlin
of skill,
Clark's a generational player, yes. And Angel Reese is a very good basketball player, but not anywhere on the same planet
she's
as Caitlin
good.
Clark.
She's not very. She's good. She's and that's where I'll draw. She's popular. She knows how to milk the fame thing. Yeah. But I don't think this is a race war anymore.
It's not the whites versus the blacks anymore.
I think no.
We moved on from that
because people that love ball and that watch it, you can't watch Caitlin Clark and just see like a phenomenal basketball player. And then Angel Reese is 5 of 14. So
she had 17 boards up.
Yeah, I mean,
That's
what she does. She's a Rodman type, right? Like she's limited offensively, and that's about all she can do. And her team's not, I don't think, that very good.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark, 20-10-10.
10-10. So she should have probably honestly had
two steals and four blocks as well.
She was unreal in that game, and all the attention's going to be about a flagrant, which by definition, it is a flagrant. It's not egregious.
It wasn't even that.
I didn't think it. Well, her hand does push her. So by the definition of their rule of flagrant foul, quote unquote, it is. But it wasn't like I watched this in real time and we were all like in my house like, oh.
Ooh.
And I remember thinking, this is going to be good.
This is going to captivate people.
That's going to be the thing that gets people, oh, you see this happen? I'm like, you didn't see it. You saw it on the internet, but okay.
It reminded me of almost the way that the Four Nations Championship game, finals game, tipped off where it was USA-Canada fighting multiple times when that's really, I mean, it's not how the rest of the game's going to go, but it's great because it gets people talking and it brings you in. You're like, wait, what's going on here? USA, Canada? And you end up kind of being enthralled by the rest of it. These kind of things does widen your tent of sports fans because people are curious to watch whenever they do play. I saw Suk on Twitter bring up the joke of, should she, I mean, she misses layups constantly. Was it a smart foul?
She would have made that one.
You think she would have made that one?
I mean, literally nobody was around her.
She's missed a lot of those. There's a lot of highlight videos of her missing two foot bunnies around.
It's a great joke by Jason Sukarik. I don't think he
wasn't a smart take
a
foul.
Lot of WNBA basketball.
I don't know if it was a smart take foul. It is interesting, though, because they seem to genuinely, like, rivalries are great in sports, and they're not rivals in terms of the overall talent and skill level that they have. Mm-hmm. But there does seem to be a level, like, we try and pit people against each other, like Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. It's like, dude, they're friends. They play golf with each other. There's not an actual beef there. There does seem to be a genuine thing here between the two of them.
No, I actually
you don't think
don't.
There is?
I think there's genuine hate on one side.
Only one side.
And I think it's Reese hates Clark.
You don't think Clark hates her for winning the title and doing the hand thing in the face, the no ring thing?
She got her back.
Oh, yeah. But she didn't get a title. She did beat her the next year, but she
beat her
in
the
title.
Next year, and she won Rookie of the Year, and she's getting all of the monies, and she's getting all of the credit for the league growth.
Either way, it's great that one side hates the other one, because you know every time they're playing, there's going to be something. Remember last year, you had the hard foul the other way around. It was Angel Reese whacking her in the side of the head, and that led to a whole debate for a week.
That was another race war.
Should that have been assault? Yeah. You know, the whites and the blacks going at it again, and now we have it reversed this year.
I think the skill difference, the talent level between these two players is so vast. And the team success potentially looming here. Like, I think the Fever are going to be a really good team this year. Chicago, probably, we'll see what they end up becoming. It's a new regime, the new coach, all that stuff. But I think it's more looked the other way.
Hmm.
I think it's her, because Angel Reese was asked about, like, the whole, she tried to say that she and Caitlin
were responsible for the rise in viewership and attendance.
And look, I think there's a little bit of truth to, she brought eyeballs of, like, oh, she's a villain. I want to watch the villain lose.
Villains are good.
But to act like Caitlin didn't do that more so, I think she was asked that. She was like, no comment. Yep. Next question. Because I think she's learned. But I also think she still hates her and is not going to just roll over and not continue her hatred of it.
How far away are we from getting our WNBA team?
Next year.
Is that next year? After this season?
Assuming there's not a work stoppage,
which they're probably
touche. That's right. They're all going to hold out. They want the
It's exciting,
deal.
Though. I mean, look, it's exciting.
Caitlin Clark coming to town
family.
Is going to be a big deal. Now, do they play everybody? You got to play everybody, right? The WNBA? Because there's not that many teams. So you got to play.
Everybody.
So she'll come to Portland at some point.
Well, it's 14 now. So Toronto comes in too. So there'll be 16.
I think you could legitimately ask out loud, and it's not ridiculous, will the Caitlin Clark in Portland game cost as much, if not more, than any Blazer game next year?
More.
Because they'll pay it.
Where are they playing next year, too? Is it the Coliseum or the Moda?
Oh, it'll be a Moda.
Moda.
Okay, I thought they couldn't come to... Weren't they doing construction in the offseason?
That was
wasn't a thing?
Before... That was a couple years ago when they thought they were going to get an expansion team in, like, 23.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious if they're kicking construction stuff now with this regime to the next regime.
Why don't you guys go ahead and pay for
you
that?
You guys got that 4 years.
You guys, figure that thing out.
Well, the city technically owns the building now.
I do find her, you know, I know that there's probably some that roll their eyes at it because she does bring more fans in that then don't know as much about the rest of the sport. I am 100% guilty of this.
Yeah.
Where do we rank her in, like, the pantheon currently of American athletes? Just in terms of, like, sheer power and influence and attention.
Oh, I think she's in the top three.
Yeah. I mean, I was honestly thinking to myself over the weekend, is she number one?
Of just American athletes. Like
American
Messi's
athletes
and all that.
No, just
count.
Like, and the influence that they yield in their sport.
She's top three.
Does anybody have more impact and power than her in their league and sport?
Mahomes does.
LeBron.
But people are still going to watch the NFL if Patrick Mahomes doesn't stop playing. Like, the NFL is setting records with or without Patrick Mahomes. Now, he brings on the Swifties. Well, not really him. Kelsey does. The team does. Mm-hmm. But the Super Bowl is still going to get 150 million people watching.
I don't know if an NFL
watching.
Player does. That's a good
I don't think they do.
Think.
LeBron, you can argue. I could see it. LeBron has had a stranglehold on the NBA.
All the high ratings were when games he was playing.
And the Cavs and Warriors finals and all that.
So, LeBron, is there one in baseball?
No. I mean, Shohei, you
Judge
could argue. But
Shohei? Well, Shohei's Japanese.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I don't think Judge does it for people. I think it's good, but...
I guess I didn't see flag games. I don't know how he did with the college
Like, we're talking
product.
About somebody who legitimately has the game. I mean, she has to play in NBA
everything
arenas.
For the
everything for the league.
She's changed. They're flying
nuts.
Private.
Yes.
Their next their contracts are going to grow big.
It's why they're having a work stoppage next year.
Yes. Everything about her has grown. I mean, she maybe is top two. If you're just limiting it to that, right there, that American athlete thing, she absolutely grew the women's college game, and it was already okay, but it grew to an even bigger level. So, I have a hard time thinking of another athlete, and if somebody does, then cool. But I think she's in the top two of that category. And I legitimately believe that you could probably get more for her ticket here at a WNBA game than they could get for a Blazer ticket against fill in the
insert
blank team.
Team here. Yeah. Somebody said, pretty sure they're remodeling the Moda for the Final Four, not the WNBA. Well, that was my point. That was my point. I thought that because the offseason is when you can remodel. You can't do it in the middle of Blazer season, so you got to do it in the offseason. And I thought I remember reading that that was going to be a hang-up there of they're doing work to the Moda.
Maybe
and
you're
the,
right. Maybe we
and the
forgot.
WNBA
maybe
season just tipped off, and they go throughout the summer, and that's the time when you would do your construction because you got to be ready for Blazer season when it tips
off.
Well,
the so, cool the final thing on curious. This, the cool thing about her, too, that like if you watch and you check in, that's what a lot of people do. But if you actually like watch and follow it, what you learn about her is, one, her demeanor is everything you would want in an athlete. She is still, she's not, even though she could make an argument that she is, she will always go and high-five all the kids, and she's big in the community thing and autographs. And when she talks, she says everything you want a franchise player to say. So do you know what the takeaway was on Saturday in the postgame? It wasn't Angel Reese. In fact, she barely talked about Angel Reese.
Yeah.
It was her teammate, DeWanna Bonner, became the third all-time leading scorer in WNBA history. And the final, like, 7 minutes of that game, it was all about, we're still up by 25, but we're playing because we want to get her the bucket to
wanna
pass Tina Thompson.
Shots, yeah.
So it was like the whole end of the game was about getting Bonner that final bucket. And, like, all it was her in the postgame. She's one of the greatest to ever lace him up and play in our sport, and she deserves this, and it's great. Like,
that's cool, yeah.
That's all you want in a franchise. She's picture perfect in a lot of ways.
Really good weekend for the WNBA to start it. More Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark drama. It's always going to bring eyeballs and attention. That's a good thing for a sport that is growing, man, and they got it in droves this weekend.
I know you have a wrap-up segment, but I have a depressing baseball stat I got to share with you.
Oh, okay. We can get to your depressing baseball stat. We got about 842 poll questions we got to answer. And get you set for your night in sports. We got nothing, guys. We got nothing tonight. Let's close it up next on The Fam. I always love these kind of comments. And it's why you should listen to the entire show. Jeffrey chimed in on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oregon softball rallies for a walk-off home run win. Track and field wins their eighth Big Ten Conference championship. Baseball.
I shouted him out.
God forbid you cover Oregon sports in Oregon. Here's some news for you, Jeffrey. We did a segment on that. I don't know if you're aware of this. The show is 3 hours long.
Yeah.
And just what we happen to be talking about when you turn the show on is not the only topic we talk about for 3 hours. We did a topic on that earlier in the show.
Walk-off call was in the show open.
It was literally in the open of the show today. Talked about who stayed up late last night. We literally talked about it in the opening segment. Thank you for listening. Go back and listen on the podcast, 1080thefan.com or the Odyssey app, where you have chapters on the Odyssey app if you listen there. Mm. And it tells you exactly what we talked about in every single segment. If there's something specifically you're looking for, you can go find it right there.
Yeah. It was a good weekend for the Oregon Athletic Department, and the softball thing is in the open, and we talked about it.
I was beat on Friday on the Better Blazer Nickname poll question. Disappointed in this one. I've got to be
honest.
Were you?
I didn't see the final results.
Yeah, Shaka Troutdale edged out Troutlaw 56-43 or 44.
It's a white guy from Troutdale, Oregon that made the NBA.
I mean, he's a local guy. I get it. It's Troutdale, local guy. Troutlaw. I was a big Troutlaw guy. Before I get to the rest of the poll questions for today.
Yeah.
This is one of those rare occurrences this time of year. What do we got?
You got a full slate of Major League Baseball if you want to check in.
There's no NBA playoff game. There's no Stanley Cup playoff game.
You have
how many nights have we had without a playoff in either of the sports in the last month and a half?
It's been
like a constant thing.
Started. I think you've had something at least every
like
night.
Like Saturday night, you at least there was no NBA playoff game, which is a little weird.
But you got game
Dallas
set,
and
yeah,
Winnipeg.
Dallas and Winnipeg.
It was a great game six.
Storm Wings tonight on NBA TV if you want to check out.
Dirt will not watch that.
Okay.
Royals are in town.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm keeping something on my radar here, actually.
What do you got?
Okay. My Bravos just beat the Red Sox.
Yeah.
They're not playing tonight. It'd be very Mariner to go to the White Sox and lose that series after doing what you
after
did.
After sweeping the Padres.
So if you're legit, you take care of your business, and I'll start to kind of buy it a little bit. How about this? In 33 career starts, Paul Skenes has had 6 games where he's allowed 1 run or fewer and lost. Skenes is 3-6 on the year with a 2.4 ERA. He's allowed 17 earned runs in 10 starts, and the Pirates have lost 7 of those 10 starts. They've gone 23 straight games scoring 4 runs or less.
That's painful.
Demand
painful,
a trade.
Man.
Get out of there.
Two different poll questions answering the same way. Biggest winner of the weekend, Scotty's third major. NBA having their seventh straight different champion, does it make you, do you like the league with more parity? 94% of you said yes. What the hell's wrong with the other ones of you? Purdy got paid, great the deal. C was the number one answer, 33%, then B, 29%. And will Scottie Scheffler become the next golfer to complete the career Grand Slam? 81% of you say yes, he will. We had Gary Parrish on today. Go check that. Some NBA draft talk with him at CBS Sports.
He was good.
He was awesome for about 15 minutes.
Nick Kostos tomorrow.
Nick Kostos tomorrow. We'll talk some Knicks and Pacers with the New York guy. And that will do it for us. Thanks for being a part of our Monday, everybody. Go check the podcast where you can hear all the segments we did. 1080thefan.com. At Turton Swagan at 1080 The Fan. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.